We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're here.
I wish I could keep this feeling. I wish I could keep this feeling.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here, again with the old man Andreas Hale, back from Philly. One hell of a weekend, it looked like, for you out there. This is usually when you're like, I'm so tired, so happy to be back home. I don't want to hear none of that. It looked like it was a ball. It looked like you were 10 years younger running around everywhere else, so can't wait to hear about that. While you were gone, thank you, producer Cole Bebe. Me, him, on Sunday, it was Big Mac. We did the live streams for WrestleMania, 4 hours each day on YouTube. So shout out to everyone from the Corner Club on Patreon who joined and sent in their little comments and watched with us. That was so much fun. We appreciate all you guys. If you guys aren't on Patreon yet, what are you waiting for? There's always cool opportunities like this. Sign up. We're going to be doing the Corner Club episode part two coming up here shortly. So that's going to be really fun, and a bunch of other fun stuff along the way. So appreciate everyone on Patreon, in the Discord, chopping it up, having a blast for WrestleMania weekend. There was some really, really good food suggestions, which I guess some people who were in the Corner Club out in Philly actually took. There's like a new place for Philly cheesesteaks, and Wale went to it. Other people.
Wait, which one? Hold on. Which one? Was it Tasty's?
Tasty's.
Bro,
oxtail Philly
cheese. Oh my god, look,
or jerk chicken Philly cheese.
Yo, hi guys, everybody listens to this podcast. Hello, I haven't been around for a week, and yeah, we're gonna talk about pro wrestling, but real quick, yeah. So, before we talk about anything pro wrestling, so I went to god, I can't remember the other cheesesteak spot, but it was really good. It was recommended by everybody. There was a line like out the door, like you had to place your order and wait like an hour. So I placed my order. I was with Mecca from Two Dope Boys, and we went to Suplex, the wrestling store, came back, and it was like an hour later, then my Philly cheesesteak was done. It was exceptional, right? After night one of WrestleMania, I was with Gregory Gibson, Mecca, and their two friends, and one of them was from Philly, and she said, oh, there's this new spot you gotta try. Because he asked me what cheesesteak I had, and I told her. She was like, yeah, that's cool, but there's this new spot. It's only been around for a year. Let's go. It's still open, called Tasty's. I said, all right, what do they have? She said, jerk chicken cheesesteak. I said, I'm sold. I'm going. Yeah. And they had the oxtail, too. Yeah. We pull up. It's brand new. It's downtown. It's like neon lighting. There's a bar in there. It was a nice little line. It was like a dude dressed as The Undertaker and shit.
Yeah, it's black owned. Shout out.
Yeah. So I get, and I order my jerk chicken cheesesteak. Greg gets the oxtail, but he has a gluten allergy. So he can't eat his because they messed it up. And it was supposed to be without the bread. They put the bread on it. But he tasted the oxtail. He said it was amazing. I forgot what Mecca had, chicken or something like that. This jerk chicken cheesesteak might have been one of the greatest things I've ever had in my life. It was so good. Like, it was so good. Like, I ate half of it, and it's like 1 a.m. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to go back to my room. We got a long day tomorrow because we have the brunch the next day. I was like, I'm not going to eat the other half of this. Save it for tomorrow. I got home, took a shower. So let me eat the rest of this cheesesteak. It's too damn good. It was
can't even let it sit the 6 hours to the next day.
Bruh, it was so good. And it wasn't like it was a jerk chicken cheesesteak. The sauce was immaculate. The cheese was phenomenal. It was like you had pepper. Oh my God. Yeah. If you're in Philly, go to Tasty's because that's the most legit cheesesteak I ever had. Oh, the best.
Yo, incredible. I'm telling you, we were talking about that in the Discord night one. And shout out to Easy on the Discord Corner Club. He was like, yo, because I asked him, I was like, yo, what's the best places to eat cheesesteak wise? He's like, honestly, like around town, everywhere makes a pretty good cheesesteak. But there's this new spot. And he was like, don't get, like, anyone's coming through, don't get the traditional. And then we go through like both nights. And then yesterday, or it might have been Monday, I wake up and the first picture, shout out to EJ, in the Discord is him with the cheesesteak. He's like, this is the best shit ever. He's like, thank you. So Corner Club members hooking up Corner Club members. On yeah. This. It's wild that you went to the same place. I guess they're taking off then. Word of mouth. Bruh, is just
the spot. Okay, the spot that we went to was called Angelo's. And that was legit. Like, you know, when you go to Philly, people have like Pat's and Gino's and all those mainstream places. And they're good. They're fine. But yeah, Angelo's is the first spot. Yo, I pulled up. There was so many people outside. And I was like, this is incredible. And I ate it. Me and Mecca went to a Mexican restaurant because there's nowhere to sit. Went to a Mexican restaurant. I was like, yo, can we eat this again? They're like, cool. And I was like, this is amazing.
But you got a margarita, didn't you?
Yeah. Then, but then, yeah, that Tasty's, I was like, all right, can it be that good? And I was like, it's new. And the old girl was like, yo, it's legit, bro. That shit changed my life.
Yeah, wait. Next trip through Philly? On it. So, yeah, now talked about that. How was the brunch before we dive into pro wrestling stuff? Because everyone has a photo from the backdrop at the brunch. But the thing that tickled me was, shout out to Cameron Hawkins. So C-Hawk posted, and he was like, Big E's big brunch. Big E not included.
Yeah, man. So I guess we could talk about it. Because, and I'll talk about Wally Mania too, which was even crazier than last year's Wally Mania.
I believe it. The venue looks smaller, but more people.
It, yeah, I'll talk about that in a second. The brunch was great, man. Like, you know, we had a, you know, this nice spot called South Kitchen and Jazz in Philly. Shout out to Mimi, Kaz. Kaz also didn't make it because the Ringer had him doing stuff. Kaz, Mimi, Brandon Pankey, who helped out tremendously with getting us sponsors, and Andrea Bredis, who's phenomenal. I love Andrea to death.
Andrea's
great. But yeah, man, we had, you know, it was night two. I didn't know how many people were going to show up. And we overbooked. I thought we were going to run out of food. They were worried that we were going to run out of food, but everybody was pretty respectful. So it was great. He tried to show up, but he had to host the Slammies. That wasn't going to happen. So I had him send in a video, which was great. But it was great, man. Trisha Dora pulled up. Big Swole pulled up. Faye Jackson pulled up. And Faye Jackson tried to take the damn thing over. All the homies, like, Shaheem Reed from Variety, Tardin from Fanatics, Joe Segura from Def Jam pulled up. Man, shout out to Grapsody. Those cats came through. Public Enemies Podcast, We Love Wrestling. I was stunned at how many people showed up to this brunch. Sorry, it was, it was.
Three counts, everybody.
Bootleg Kev, my brother Bootleg Kev was there. Megaran and Teak. Megaran and Teak were actually, I will talk about it in a minute. They did Roman's entrance.
Really?
They were on the stage for Roman's entrance.
Okay. I saw like Megaran posted like a picture, but I didn't know what he was a part of.
It was wild. Like it came out of nowhere. But I'll get to that later when we talk about the show. But yeah, man, everybody pulled up. Mecca was spinning the food. Everybody's been talking about the catfish. The catfish and grits were unbelievable. We got it catered. You know, we had it sponsored by Douce and Bacardi, so those drinks were comp for everybody. It was a fantastic gathering. It was one of those things. It was like a family reunion, man, like where people, the reason why we did this, like last year, we did the Super Kickback party, right, where we did the panel, and we realized that, oh, this is nice, right? Like, it ain't wrestling. Everybody gets to talk to each other. It's one of the few times that everybody can be in the same room and chop it up and not have to worry about work. This brunch kind of took that to another level where Everybody, there was people who hadn't seen each other in years and only met like on Twitter. So there was a lot of long hugs and handshakes, and people hadn't seen each other in mad long. And nobody knew who was actually pulling up. So it was always a surprise when somebody came through the door. Black Wrestling Podcast, shout out. Finally met Math in person. I've met fam over the years, Mimi, of course, but Kyle couldn't pull up because he was doing ringer stuff. But it was just we had a fantastic time, man. About 3 4 hours of people just eating, taking pictures. I got a video coming out today from the brunch, just a recap. Shout out to photographers that were there. It was so it the turnout was so good that we're already talking about doing it for SummerSlam. It's a private function. We're trying to make this thing like the Roc Nation brunch. Invited only because we were at capacity so quick. But it was great, man. It was great. If anybody's seen the pictures, like it's just dope. Everybody that pulled up, thank you. This is something I've talked about since like before the pandemic, doing the brunch at WrestleMania, because that's my thing, it's brunch. But the food was phenomenal. Like, yo, I think Faye was trying to steal catfish, bro.
Just for
Because it was
the
so good. We had
parts.
chicken, catfish, grits. They brought us desserts. It was I could and the venue looked exceptional too. It was a beautiful spot to do it in. And they were like the people that hosted it were worried at first. It was like it's a wrestling thing. They looked at the people that were there and they was like, yo, this is like a beautiful event. I never seen we had an equal ratio of like men to women, which is the other thing. Like it's mostly hard legs pull up to wrestling events. Nah, man. It was a great gathering. Kel, I wish you were there, man. Damn, had to do the Final Four. I get it, but
And I'll be there. I'll definitely be there for SummerSlam if something happens and goes down. I'm gonna be at SummerSlam. Like that's just it is what it is. I'm going to be there. That's gonna be fun. Cleveland has good food, I heard. Again, the women's Final Four was in Cleveland. So we
right.
had people in Cleveland. The only good part of this was the games and the food.
All right.
So Cleveland's food scene, I guess, is really dope. But nah, the FOMO hit early. Probably not even Wally Mania night, because Wally Mania looked like super fun, but it looked packed and kind of like hard to get around,
Yeah.
and everyone kind of you could miss someone at Wally Mania. You'd be like, yo, we're gonna link up there, and then not see them
Oh,
in 3 hours. Like
I'll talk
that
about
shit's
that.
always crazy. But Friday, like Friday morning on, and Effie's Big Gay Brunch and some of the wrestling shows, and the FOMO hit Friday, like damn, like really, like could I jump on a flight? Like it was like, yo, if I just come back like Sun, I miss night two. Like if I just come back Sunday, could I make this work? And then I was like, nah, fuck it.
Yeah, a lot of people asked about you, man. It was where's Kel at? Like fam just assumed we were gonna be there. A lot of people just assumed, like, where's Kel at? Is he hiding? I was like, nah, man, he ain't here.
New
But
gig.
then, next time we make sure that happens. But yeah,
Definitely.
it was like the perfect gathering. And there was just so many people that messaged me after it was like, yo, like they didn't get invites. Cause I knew it was gonna happen. Like I was going through the list of invites and me and Andrea and Mimi, I was like, all right. I think we got everybody. And then it was like, come to find out, now we missed a few people. And I don't want to say they were butthurt or anything like that. They were just like, oh, I didn't know about it. So I'll make sure that I take care of them the next time. But it was one of those things where to see something like come to life like that, yeah, I haven't even given Ia the brief yet because Ia's been running around like a maniac. But he was just like, yo, there's these pictures all over the net. Like, how did this thing go? And I was like, it's great. I'm gonna talk to you about it. I still haven't talked to him about it. But it was a true family reunion. And I think one of the things in the video that I said is that 10 years ago we couldn't have done nothing like this. We wouldn't have had enough black people to fill up a room, right? We wouldn't have had enough black people to fill up a table. Now it's like had about 100 people there just on invites, and the place was at capacity. So
Need a
can't
bigger
wait to do it
venue.
again.
That's
Yeah, we're gonna
what
need a bigger venue.
you'll need a bigger venue.
Speaking of bigger venues, let's talk about Wally Mania real quick.
Yeah.
Holy shit. So Thursday, get in with Mech. Mech arrives a little bit before me. I get there. And it's at the Franklin Music Hall. And I get there and it's already a zoo outside, right? Like I'm like, oh my God, this is a thing. I'm backstage. When I tell you I never saw anything in front of the stage, I couldn't make it out. Like,
Once you're back there, you're stuck.
I tried, right? Like, I tried to get out there. Like, AJ Springer was there. He was out there. I couldn't get out there. There was mad people. I didn't see, like, at least half of the people that I knew were there. Montez Ford was there. Didn't see him. Like, there was, I Philly, Freeway and Beans did What We Do. Didn't see it. Didn't even know what happened until the video came out. And no idea. I was pissed too. Like, Swole came back. She's like, "Did you see it?" And I was like, "Dog, I didn't see nothing." Like, it was everybody was there. Tierra Whack was there. Gerald Briscoe was there.
Gerald Briscoe.
Gerald Briscoe was there to support Shelton Benjamin.
Oh,
Gerald
makes sense.
Briscoe was in, I think he was in Shelton's locker room. But when I saw him walk by, I was like, "Who is this old white dude pulling up to Wale Mania?" And I walked in, and lo and behold, it was Gerald damn Briscoe. It was bigger and wilder than it was last year in the sense that it was just so packed. Like, there was, even backstage, they had, had the red carpet. And you had said this on the last show. It's like, it's your first time out since Our Heels Riches came out. And me and E, when he pulls up, we quickly realized, like, oh my God, like, all these people's like, "Yo," talking to us about the short. And I was like, "Wow, this is overwhelming." Like, we talked about on the red carpet, we did a few interviews, but it was just overwhelming, man. Like, Ricochet, Samantha, who has now cemented her place as, like, the greatest ring announcer, probably one of the top five in the history of everything. She
Yeah.
was phenomenal this week, but met her briefly. You name it, they were there. I didn't see Beans. I didn't see Freeway. I didn't even see Wale.
Yo.
That's my guy. And he, Wale had posted on Twitter, like, me and he were talking about it. I was like, "I love you guys." I hit him. I was like, "Bro, I didn't even see you. I didn't even see you." West Side Gun was there. Didn't see him. That's how crazy it was.
Yeah. Like LA last year was crazy, but at least it was spread out enough, like width wise, that everyone on the main floor was cool. They had the upstairs area where it was like a balcony and you could look down. It was like a separate, like
They had
VIP
that.
area upstairs that was like big. So everyone was drinking and chilling up there. And then you can get into that little ass hallway if you wanted to. Like I went to that hallway like twice last year. This year it looked like everything was condensed to like straight on runway. And I was like, oh my God,
I
like.
mean, they had the upstairs and the downstairs. And the backstage area had a room with the red carpet and a bar sponsored by Hennessy. They ran out. Then they had two
I
dressing
could have
rooms,
guessed that.
one for Wale and one for Shelton. And there was a hallway. But it was just like so many. 'Cause the other thing is, Philly's close to New York. So everybody from New York was just pulling up, right? Everybody was just taking the drive that I hadn't seen last year. And they all showed up. It was just incre it was packed. It was a lot. Like,
Yeah,
and
between
not in a
them,
bad way.
DMV people went up in droves. Crazy.
I maybe saw Kaz once that night. Saw Emilio quite a few times.
Emilio's everywhere.
Yeah, Swole got a lap dance by Killer Kelly. There was so much going on, man. Like, it was so much going on, but it was a great event. Shout out to Wale, Emilio, Kaz. They done did it again.
Did it again.
And the conversations now is like, all right, how do we top this? Like, Kaz is already like, all right, we got to do this brunch bigger next year. The Mania brunch we're thinking about doing for SummerSlam, but Wale Mania is it's starting to hit its ceiling in terms of we need more bodies to handle this because that shit was it was a lot. There was just too many people running around. But again, not in a bad way, man. If you were there. I don't know how much fun people had that was out in the crowd. I don't know how packed it was for them. I've heard great things, but I know backstage we were like, damn, like again, I never made it past the stage. I tried. Just got pulled in so many directions, I just gave up. I just gave up and stayed backstage.
Yeah, that's wild. And
And we had
again,
Wingstop too, so I ate some chicken.
it's just continuing to get bigger and bigger and
Yeah.
bigger. And I mean, Andrea's amazing. And Cameron helping plan everything and everything. But yeah, the venues for all of this have to get bigger. This
Yeah.
one felt where it was like, and maybe not Minnesota. Like Minnesota might be weird. If
It's
Minnesota
not, hey, it's not confirmed it's Minnesota.
is not.
I've been asking around and it's like, not
If
sure yet.
it's Minnesota, all right, maybe get away with like same size venue. People gotta travel. It's cold. When that shit gets to Vegas, I don't know what year, when it gets to Vegas, it can't even be the House of Blues. Like, because the House of Blues usually is like the joint you go and, but
No.
no, not even big enough. There,
No.
Park MGM, like the little Usher Theater, maybe
That it'll be
that
too
shit might
expensive.
not be. Yeah, like, well, I don't
It'll
know.
like I
Hookups are a little
think
bit easier to come by in Vegas than other places.
they I mean yeah they
Like
you can't do
Wale,
it.
like Roc Nation puts on all the shows in that theater. So I'm sure like a hookup is easier to come by because they do Planet Hollywood Theater in that theater. Planet Hollywood Theater wouldn't be bad. It's just a little far off the course.
No,
But
I mean,
that's,
yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It, there's a
listen,
lot. Like,
we
if
got
it
a
comes to
brunch in
Vegas,
Vegas. We got a brunch in Vegas, Dre. You
oh, it's gonna
got to
be.
go to Border Grill. Just got to rent out Border Grill.
No. I
Two
got other
stars, two
options.
stories.
Mm-mm. We're going better than that.
On the strip. Oh, Dre's.
I'm like again. I'm already
Dre,
thinking
the
about
wheels
this.
are moving.
Yeah, the gears are already turning. But like Wally Mania, the brunch was great. The For the Culture show, which is one of the only other shows I went to besides Ring of Honor. For the Culture show was dumb late, first and foremost. But I managed to stay up because it's the East Coast and it's only 9 o'clock for me, midnight for everybody else. Too Cool Scorpio, Darius Carter. I met Alex Zane, the Suplex Machine. Shout out to him. It was just a that was a really fun show because all the homies were there. Ricky Starks was there like hiding, right? Like Starks was there. Everybody was there. Swole was on commentary. That was a great show. Shout out to them. I know I'm going to talk to them because, like, I was like, there's a way to integrate this show into what we're doing, right? Like, that For the Culture show, while it's a great wrestling show in general, the fact that everybody is there, again, Faye, Swole, like, shit, you just go down the list of, like, wrestlers just there. Woods had texted me because he was Too Cold Scorpio was his favorite wrestler. And I was like, bro, where are you? And he was like, yo, I just finished. They did the Hall of Fame. And I was like, you're not here? Scorpio was like, I didn't know. Like he would have pulled up. Like many wrestlers would have pulled up to this thing. But that was a great show. Ring of Honor was a great show, obviously, with Briscoe getting the title off Eddie Kingston. Even though the match of the night was Kyle Fletcher versus Lee Johnson, which blew a lot of us away, was a really good match. Shout out to Cameron Hawkins, seeing him everywhere.
He's
Seahawk is,
everywhere. Yeah.
he's legitimately everywhere and just a genuinely good dude. Just so many people to see throughout the week. It was great. But let's get to the nuts and bolts. I know we don't want to make the show too long. We're gonna talk about the video on from Dynamite. The
We gotta
all
talk. Listen, I mean,
we're gonna
Mania,
talk
we can
about it.
kind of run through. Like, we know what the fuck happened there. Mania, we can give our
Yeah.
stuff and run through it.
We're
We at
gonna talk about
least.
this though. Here's what we're gonna talk about. No more East Coast WrestleManias. It was fucking cold. Bro, it was so
Freezing.
cold outside. It was so night one. So way in advance, just to give you some background, I was asked, you want tickets or you want the press box? Obviously, I want tickets, right? And so night one, I look at the weather, 37 degrees at the low. And I'm like, what have I done? Right? We get there, it's fine. But by the time the Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso match happened, people were like, the crowd was dead. No, they were dying because it was freezing outside. It was brick ass cold. It was like, and also night one was kind of mid, but
Yeah, a little
it
bit.
was freezing out there. Night two was it was like 60, almost 60 degrees. But then around the maybe a little bit after Styles in LA Knight, it's like the weather just died on us. And I'm on the floor at this point with the WWE crew under the hard cam. And I'm like, me, like Rose, I'm like, I'm freezing. This is crazy. No more East Coast Manias. Has to be in a dome stadium. And I know that in Minnesota there is a dome stadium, but I don't like Minnesota either because you still got to get there and it's cold outside.
Yeah, but at least inside it's not cold.
Yeah, but the other part of it is WrestleMania don't end till like damn near midnight. So unlike LA, where WrestleMania ends and then everybody goes to hang out. Everybody's going to sleep. Like, yo, I'm getting out of here. I'm tired. It's cold. Took us like an hour to get out of there, at least. And I was rolling with Gregory Gibson. So I heard Ubers, people, like, we had an Uber and it told us, I ordered the Uber before the main event of night one ended. Cause I was like, oh, I'm gonna get this Uber. An hour and a half later, Uber still wasn't there. That's how bad it was getting out of the link. There were people that I know that were there waiting for a Lyft or an Uber for at least 2 hours. Fortunately, I got a ride to get out of there. It was a disaster. So no more East Coast manias.
Yeah. I mean, there's never a good way to get out of a stadium. If it's
No,
in
but this was.
Vegas, we could just walk. Like I'll walk to the Mandalay and chill.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like in the link, there's nowhere to go. Like there's they shut down one street. They got the street where wrestlers got to get out of there. But there's like three lanes. So you got Ubers, cars, people, and there's a complex. So you got Wells Fargo, Lincoln Financial, and whatever the other spot is. Citizens Bell Park where the Phillies play, all in the same area.
Yeah.
And you got like 80,000 people trying to leave at the same time. And you're trying to call Uber, so Ubers are trying to come in and people are trying to go out. It
You
was a
better than me.
nightmare.
If I was you, I would have texted Eve like, "Yo, I'm jumping in wherever you're at." Like,
I didn't know that dude was out of there before the damn show ended. Way before, like he was after he did his pre-show. I was like, "Where you at?" He's like, "Taking a shower." I was like, "For real?" Also, shout out to King Troy, our stylist for NAACP Image Awards, outfitted Seth Rollins that night for night one. I saw him, like he came to the brunch. And it was funny because he's very unassuming. And if he doesn't say who he is, nobody knows who he is. So I was like introducing him to everybody. I was like, I'm sorry, bro, I gotta do this to you.
yeah.
And that the outfit for night one for WrestleMania for Seth was, well, I was like,
Crazy. Did he
that
just do
guy's.
sets or like the entire?
He just did Seth. He didn't do Seth on night two because that was a collaborative effort with like the City of Philly, some other thing. But he did Seth night one. He didn't do Becky. Becky did her own thing. But yeah, he was. It'll probably come out that footage that's backstage that they've been talking about putting out. He's part of it, and he was telling me he was just like he's never been backstage actually like threading things. It's usually he completes it and then he like gives it to him. He was backstage like at the last minute trying to put it all together. So that'll come out too. But shout out to King Troy because that dude's got the sauce when it comes to this fashion game, man. It's I saw Seth's gear and I was like, this is nuts. That walkout robe was insane.
Yeah, man, it was just one hell of a.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
All right, let's go through Mania then. We'll save a little time at the end for this video because it kind of coincides with Mania. So night one, like you mentioned, like one was a little mid, but I like this pacing better than last year's, where night one was a banger, and then night two, it's like, eh, like, all right, like, night two is a letdown, kind of. This one was better, but one of my favorite matches in night one, obviously, Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. They had one hell of a match that kind of got overlooked over the weekend. it's probably the most slept on match for me, where people don't like list it in the list of bangers for this entire WrestleMania. I thought Rhea's entrance was incredible.
Yeah, it was.
Coming out, she looked great. They wrestled their ass off, told a good story, and the right person won. And Becky put Rhea over, and now we're leaning more towards that babyface Rhea because it's hard to keep her as a heel. Everyone is behind her.
Yeah, I mean, the entrance, the way it played out in the stadium was great. Like, just seeing Rhea get to rock with a band. Becky's was kind of weird. The little CGI book thing was a little strange.
Yeah, they're promoting the book.
Yeah, but it didn't connect with people. They're like, I don't give a shit. But yes, you're right. The match was good. It was really good. It did get overlooked because the rest of night one was relatively mid. And the right person, everything that should have happened in that match. The riptide into the turnbuckle to another riptide for the finish was great. Makes you wonder where they go with Rhea moving forward. I mean, not Rhea, I'm sorry, Becky. Even though I don't know who Rhea's next opponent is, whatever. But I thought overall that was a good match and a good way to kick it off. And I'm like, all right, when that match happened, I was like, all right, we're in good. Like, it's going to be a good night of wrestling. And then the rest of the night happens.
Yeah, next up, six-pack tag team ladder match, which I thought was going to be a little better, but it still had, like, a couple of spots that I liked. It played out similarly to how I kind of thought it would go. And when we talked about it, we both predicted, except the first team won it midway through. And to me, that was like weird because it was like, yo, they're still in it and you're still going. I was always a fan of the simultaneous.
Yeah.
This one was just like, oh, they win. But wait, the match continued. So it was kind of weird having them win A-Town down under, win midway through. Shout out to Cole, called them winning. It's like, fuck, that makes sense. Just them winning midway through and then getting to everyone having their moment was kind of weird to me.
Yeah, I'm not going to spend too much time on this. It kind of diluted them winning because, like, everyone was like, so? Like, they won the titles. And the match was kind of messy. It was a little all over the place. It was fine. And then we get R-Truth and The Miz winning, which was, at that point, it was pretty obvious, right? Yeah. The highlight of this match was R-Truth getting a hot tag and going full John Cena in the middle of the match. That was the absolute highlight of the match. There were like some spots, but nothing we've never seen before. But they won. We all knew they were
JD McDonough.
They always try to kill JD. I think he's up for getting murdered every week. But the match was fine. Waller and Theory winning it's still a little weird to me because I'm like, all right, they're not long for these tag titles, and neither are Truth and Miz. So we'll see what happens.
Waller and Theory, I think, will have a longer run by far.
They should. They should. But yeah, this match was all right. It wasn't offensive.
Yeah, no, it wasn't too crazy. And the right people won. It's all about how they book them going forward. And then next up, Rey Mysterio, what ended up being Andrade, which you didn't even get to pick by the time we were recording. And then Dirty Dom and Santos Escobar. This one was weird because they had a chance to really blow off this feud or like build something for Rey and Dom to go into next year. And it ended up just being a spot to get Jason Kelce there, which did stupid numbers everywhere on social and Philadelphia fans and casual fans. It was just like they built the story for so long. And now it's unfinished, though, with this LWO thing. I thought Andrade looked incredible. I thought that was cool, but I didn't think they needed to win. And they were kind of forced to win because of the celebrities.
I didn't like this match at all. I hated it. I hated it because of the reasons that you mentioned. And also, like, just turn Carlito, please. Like, it's pretty obvious, right? Like, he's going to turn. I thought it was going to happen here. It didn't happen. The reason behind Rey winning, though, actually, aside from the celebrity aspect, it sets up next year. Now Dom is 0-2 against his dad. He's got to retire him next year. It's got to be a hair versus mask match next year. He's got to retire his dad. So that story makes sense. The match itself, it was just a paint-by-the-numbers match sponsored by Aguas Frescas, which was, like, very targeted marketing, but whatever.
If I'm Aguas Frescas, I'm like, yo, what Spanish people do we got? Like, I'm targeting the market.
I mean, I get it.
I think the black women match was
It was Wingstop.
Wingstop. It's chicken.
Yeah.
They're like,
it's
yeah.
It's very targeted marketing.
They went down the match sheet and they're like, yep, this is the one we want to sponsor. If Rick Ross behind it, like, yeah, I need them.
a lot of egregious messaging and marketing at this show, but it's fine. But this match, I did not care. Like, I don't even think I paid attention while it was happening, because midway through the match, I was like, I don't care. This is very inconsequential. I'm just waiting for Carlito to come out. He didn't. So I'm like, whatever. I don't care about this match.
Yeah. Jason Kelce, though, again, online.
Yeah. It's your viral moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get it. Get why they did it. It wasn't too long. Didn't bother me too much, but I could have skipped it in hindsight. Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso.
Can I just get this out? This match sucked.
Wasn't good.
It was bad. It was bad because whoever the agent was with them, they were like, yo, let's just super kick each other. And I'm like, you guys are brothers. The video package preceding it was excellent, right? Yeah. My brother's keeper thing. The entrance. So word on the street was Wayne was like dumb late. Like, this was supposed to kick off the show, and Wayne was dumb late, so it got pushed. But I don't think it had anything to do with how the match played out. But this match sucked. Like, there was no energy in this match. For two brothers who have waited so long for the spotlight, I wanted to get so much more. And it almost makes you think they should have had a match before so we can get to the blood feud at WrestleMania to finish it. Because it could have used a last man standing, a Hell in a Cell, no holds barred.
Had that much time. That was the other thing. Like,
They could have found time for this match. I just think it was booked poorly. I just don't think it was a good match. There was nothing. The finish was whack. The whole, like, Jay falling for Jimmy's sympathy trap, that was whack. Like, this match was not good. These two deserve better, and it was the worst match of the weekend to me. Like, the expectations were through the roof. The expectations were super high. No Rikishi, no Bloodline, just these two going at it. All right, fine. Well, then deliver, give me a banger, maybe give me some blood. I didn't get nothing. It just felt like a wrestling match on Raw.
Yeah, I'm almost to the point where now Jay is number one contender. We know that after Raw, after Mania, for the world's heavyweight title, which we'll get to. And I kind of want to see this continue because it didn't pay off for me.
Oh, it's going to continue.
So I need Jimmy to cost them at the pay-per-view.
100%. And that's going to happen.
Yeah, like, roll this into whether it's Money in the Bank or it's SummerSlam. Like, that's where you can give them time, especially Money in the Bank, where there's two ladder matches and you get a ton of people in it, where you may not need both titles defended if you don't want. Yo, give them that time where you have them in Hell in a Cell. Give them the Jay Roman moment like they had in the storytelling and long ass time. Keep building this.
Yeah, so, it just sucked. And the other weird thing is, why did Jay come out first with Wayne? Jimmy should have came out first if he wasn't gonna have a guest. Because now the expectation was like, well, who's Jimmy gonna come out with? His entrance. It was very weird. Like, this whole match was weird. And as a matter of fact, their spot on night two outdid everything they did on night one.
Yeah, I'd agree. Like, it's just Jimmy's entrance felt like even bigger in night two. So it was the beginning. And maybe that's what it was always supposed to be. We always thought, like, yo, this is their moment, kind of blows off that tension. This seemed like the very beginning of their feud together. And they kept them apart for so long. Maybe it is.
Yeah.
Maybe this was the kickoff. Everything doesn't finish at Mania. Some stuff starts. Yeah, so I wish it was explained that way. And then, of course, we had Jade, Bianca, Naomi versus Damage Control. It's tough going for Damage Control this week.
Now, we knew it was going to happen, right? Like, we knew. Everybody called it. Dakota's the one getting nerfed. The entrance was phenomenal. Seeing these three women on their Cowboy Carter shit was excellent. They looked like $1 million. Jade looked like $1 million. They all looked great coming to the ring. But it was carried by Bianca. Like, this match was really carried by Bianca and Damage Control.
Yeah,
Kairi and Asuka. I know that there's a
Naomi
question.
Naomi was
now.
Selling her ass off, though.
Naomi was great too. Like, she worked from under like the whole match, right?
Yeah, she did. Somebody has to sell.
She did. But the question starts to become, all right, so you guys hit Jade for like to the last 2 minutes of the match. And she came in, she nerfed everybody and was wrapped, right? So now you've had her work Royal Rumble in a very powerful spot, but it was short, it was brief. She hasn't worked another match. She works this match, gives you 2 minutes, and then she worked Chelsea Green on Monday Night Raw and gave you like 35 seconds. She got signed in October.
From what I heard on a report, is that their time got cut.
The match not true. Supposed to be 100% not true.
Squash. Chelsea's so great.
Yes, though.
She played that shit incredible.
Yeah, it was always going to be a squash. But the question is, she got signed in October. It is now April. She has not really wrestled a match yet. The question starts to become, is she actually ready? Is there something wrong? Is there some fine tuning that needs to be done? Because if this is the case, and
she's worked matches in AEW, like she can
it's not the same though. But there's a reason why, like, she only worked 2 minutes in this match and 45 seconds the next night. And I don't know what it is yet. We can't keep this going because you can only hide her for so long, yeah, right?
I mean, they could turn her into Goldberg where it's quick.
And that'll be the worst thing you could possibly do, right? If you turn her into Goldberg, it ain't going to work. Fans are going to revolt against it because what ends up happening is, like, you eventually, if the plan is to get to Bianca and Jade, Jade's got to prove she could work a 15-minute match to WWE, right? And I think my personal take on this is I think the concern is that Jade can't work from underneath.
Yeah.
That's what I think is happening. I could be totally wrong.
I'd say that was pretty much her concern in AEW.
Exactly.
It was the selling of stuff. Like, when she went on offense, she looked great.
I think, and I said this like 2 years ago on the show, it still feels like to me, and it holds true now, that when a match is happening with Jade, it is very like, and a one, and a two, and a three. Like, she has to follow the blueprint of how the match is supposed to go. The concern is, if something disrupts that in a 15-minute match, does she have the instincts to recover? I don't know the answer to that. I have a feeling the answer is no, which is why she hasn't had an actual match yet. You can't keep putting her out there sporadically and then making her disappear again.
Yeah.
Now she's been exposed to the audience. Fans are going to want more who don't know any better. Yeah. And you have to figure out, when is she going to work a longer match? Because I said, like, I thought the spot would go to Nia Jax, but I guess she's not ready to work from underneath. Yeah. Piper Nevin, like, she can only nerf the small girls on the roster for so long. She has to work a match. It's my only concern. I don't know what's going on. Maybe there's a plan there that I'm not privy to. It just feels like they're holding her back for some reason, and I don't know what it is.
I think it was me and Cole talking, but yeah, to me, it just seems like she should be a heel, you know? And to get there, it might be everything's hunky-dory and it's great, but her first rift should be with Naomi. It should be hey, Jade turns on Naomi. Bianca could be like, told you, stop trusting people. See, this is why we don't do shit. And then Naomi actually would take care of her because she's a very good worker and could build those matches. And when her and Bianca eventually have beef, I don't know if it's next Mania or whatever it is, Bianca will have something to point back to. It's like, yo, you didn't just turn your back on Naomi. You turned your back on me. Look what we did. How could you do it? Kind of thing. But for your first feud, Naomi would be the Natalia. She'll take care of you, and we'll get these longer matches. I think that's like a smart play, even before you go against Nia, because Nia could be just a beautiful train wreck, though, because that could just be botch after botch after botch, and just her lifting Nia into a Big Show spot. But that doesn't make for a good match.
No, and I think that's their only concern right now, because if you look at NXT and the women that are working in NXT and how much they've progressed over the past year, Tiffany Stratton is a perfect example. Who still is very green, but she gets it. She gets it. She didn't work this show. If Jade is not outdoing the performers in NXT right now, she's not capable of putting together those matches for whatever reason. I'm not going to say there's something wrong because the presentation is there. Like, she looks like $1 million, but you don't want to expose her to a crowd that will be unrelenting if she has a bad match.
I think it's just the first match has to be a banger.
It has to be.
You can kind of, then you can do a Nia Jax just lifting up big ass people, Big Show spots, right? Like, the first one has to be like, yo, she's gotten so much better and she can work. Now we can be like, now she doesn't have to prove anything. You prove it in the first match and you can book her however the hell you want. Cause at any point, they, you know, it could be like a Roman type thing. Like, yo, she's not going to wrestle these fucking 15, 20 minute matches more than once every 3-4 months. So don't even think that. But when she does, she'll give you. So I think they just need to show that in the first one. Still hoping Naomi's that person, because that'd be a really good match. From everything we've seen out of Naomi the past year, between Impact and then coming back, she can have one hell of a match. You book that shit just like her and Jordynne Grace. If you want, and be like, yo, watch this. Obviously, Jordynne Grace is an experienced wrestler. But yo, these are the spots. This is how you work from under. This is how you're a powerhouse doing all these things. Look how amazing it looks. And you're bigger than Jordynne. Like, it will look even more grand. Just do this shit. Yeah. So I think that'd be a good feud. And then Sami Zayn versus Gunther.
Lord have mercy. The entrance, Sammy walking out.
Did they show you that in the stadium?
Yes. This crowd, like, as we're watching it, and he's slapping everything, and he's, like, rolling through first of all, production did a phenomenal job with this. Like, this shot all of him. The production was on fire this weekend. But the shot of him, and he gets there, and Kevin Owens is standing at the entrance in Gorilla. Everybody looked at each other and was like, oh, he can't lose now.
He's going.
Like, he's got his kid there, his wife there. And I'm like, damn, Gunther's really good at nerfing people in front of their families. That's Chad Gable. But this entrance, everybody just, I know, like, I was sitting with the Ringer crew, and we're all looking at each other like, yeah, this might be the night. This match was excellent. Like, I know some people are going to think it was goofy kind of towards the end when Sammy's, like, powering up, right, as Gunther's, like, just overzealously trying to nerf this man in front of his family. But the fact that he pulled out the brain bust on the turnbuckle, which we don't see it very rarely, it's the one thing that you go, that can be good. That move right there can finish the job.
Borrowed that from his old friend, El Generico.
Yeah, his old buddy, his old masked friend, El Generico. Yeah, this match, I had no complaints. I thought it was great. I thought Sammy's perfect babyface apparel throughout this match. Gunther just being overzealous and trying to kill this man in front of his family is what got him caught up. Yeah. Gunther's just, he's still a killer. He's still a killer. He got pinned. It is what it is. He hasn't been pinned since he showed up on the main roster in anything.
Survivor Series.
Yeah, so Survivor Series don't count. That was, I don't count that. Vince didn't give a fuck about that man at that point.
I think that was the last time he was pinned. And then, Dragunov in NXT.
Of course, but this match had everything. This was the match that I think was my match of the night by far. It was really good. And now, you know, we're going to work to a Gable thing. It's just, how do we reposition Gunther? Because you can't keep him away from that title, but for so long. It's happening.
You know what's in line for him? He's nerfing everyone in Money in the Bank.
Oh, yeah. He's about to nuke every. You know what kind of menace this man is about to be carrying a briefcase around and just being like, not today.
Yep, just standing at the ramp, holding.
Just watching matches. Just saying. Watching. Not saying shit. Just
on both champions. And that's what's great about it. It doesn't matter if you're a heel, a face. He is the final boss. Sorry, Rock. He is the final boss. It doesn't matter. Because he'll watch Cody. He'll watch Priest. He'll watch Drew. He'll watch Punk. It doesn't matter. He will just hold it. And it's been a long time since you didn't know who they would go after. Because even with Damian Priest, it's like, you have two belts now. Like,
yeah, we know which one you're going to get.
You're not going after him. Like, and for so long, it's like, you're really not going after him. Like, you're going to play your chances and go after the other belt. With Gunther, it's like, we don't even know. It doesn't have to be a story. It doesn't got to be nothing. No feud, no nothing. I'm coming for somebody's goal. So
yeah, that was good shit.
Oh, he's going to be great. But Sammy, also, I want to see how they roll it over because – you know, Chad Gable during the entrance was just like, yo, I trained you. Remember, you owe me.
Basically.
And that's a really good just like wrestling feud.
Oh, these guys are about to tear the house down.
Nuts.
They're about to smoke it.
That's going to be great. Main event, night one, Bloodline. Tag team, Roman and Rock versus Cody and Seth freaking Rollins. This match was fucking long.
Yo, let me start with this.
The crowd came back.
It's, I think it's 10:30 Eastern time. It was 10:27 when Gunther and Sammy ended. And we're all, you know, we're freezing. We're all looking around. It was like, yeah, we know this is going to be like a long ass video package. We know these walkers are going to be long, but we're going to get out of here at a decent hour. They said, no, you're not. This ended up being the second longest match in WrestleMania history behind Bret versus Shawn.
And that was only, it was an Iron Man match. So
it was an Iron Man match.
First and foremost,
The Rock's entrance is just ridiculous. Live, it was just, Cody's was great. Cody's on night two was even better. Yeah. Roman is Roman. Seth is Seth. But this Rock entrance, I was like, oh my God, right? Now, we could get rid of 30 minutes of that match and just get to the finish, right? Because it was so long and boring. And I don't know if we're protecting The Rock. We're making sure he doesn't overexert himself. I think Cody Rhodes must have gave like 17 crossroads out this weekend. It felt like between that, the disaster kick and the Cody cutter was like the moves I've seen the most all weekend. Seth being Seth, this match was not good. It was just long. The finish was fine. The
match wasn't bad.
It was too long. We didn't need all this to get there. We just did. It was just, it made it worse because it was freezing outside. Like, we didn't need.
Watching at home, it went by pretty quick.
No, it was 47 minutes. The match was 47 minutes long.
It seemed longer being there, I'm sure. At home, we were just hitting our stride on the Zoom.
It was ineffective for 30 minutes. And then things started to pick up when, like, I think the first crossroads hit, and we was like, all right, so we're going to get ready to go home. Not really. We're gonna go home a little bit later. You know, Rock getting hit with a spear, and Rock's expression when Roman hits him with a spear was phenomenal. But it was an ends to a means. It was like the setup for night two. And, you know, I was just happy this match ended. I'll just say that.
I was surprised Cody got pinned.
I was, too.
Scenarios, I did not see that.
I was, too. But then I was like, well, he's definitely winning tomorrow night. As soon as he got pinned, he's definitely winning tomorrow night. And now you already have the story. Cody's going to work The Rock. Probably at SummerSlam. Maybe Survivor Series. It's happening. It's 100% happening. That was the one thing that the scenario that none of us really discussed was Cody getting pinned, but it sets up something, right? It clearly sets up something. I just didn't need this match to be this long. Oh my God.
It was a while, but it seemed longer, I'm sure, because you were freezing. Then night two, which is the better of the two nights. So everybody shows up.
Seth Rollins is the MVP of like everything. Because I know we're going to start with Seth in this match with Drew, which was exceptional, right? But everything that Seth did with the build of this tag match, because he always felt like the guy would turn on Cody. He always felt like the guy was like, he doesn't really have a place in this. He was the glue that made all this shit work. I don't think he gets enough credit. Now, when you look back, I'll always be your shield. Everything that he said, shout out to the writing team, the booking team for the way that they framed this. But this man was MVP. I know we all love Cody, but you don't get any of this without the way Seth handled his presence. And it started with this match. Well, it started the tag match, but it really went into high gear because he could have just delivered an okay match with Drew. He got fucking Claymore 13 seconds into the match. And people thought it was going to be like Sheamus and Daniel Bryan. And it wasn't.
These guys were pissed for a second. He was like, oh, my God. And then, I'm faked.
No, these two delivered an incredible match. And the fact that Seth was now compromised from the night before plays into all this. Yep. But, man, I just want to get to the finish real quick because it played out differently for y'all than it did for us. The finish happens, right? Obviously, Drew wins.
Yeah.
The crowd pops crazy. Major babyface pop for Drew because now it's like Drew finally had his moment in front of all these fans, right? Yeah. So, major babyface moment. I'm sitting.
He's been crushing that shit on social.
The guy's been phenomenal. He's unreal on social. He's unbelievable. I am standing with the WWE staff at hard cam, right underneath the hard cam. And everybody's clapping. And the fans in front of us, everybody's happy. We see Drew go down and start interacting with Punk. We can't hear anything, right? We're just watching. And we're like, what are these two saying to each other? And when Punk slaps his leg and knocks him down off the thing and the crowd erupts, what you guys didn't see is how it played out for us. Punk does all that. When he blows the kiss, the camera, every Titantron immediately cuts to Priest running to the stage. The way that they put this together and what we saw, was a ridiculous. Because that, it wasn't like, I think when you guys saw, because I watched it again.
He blew the kiss to his wife, not Pope's wife. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, it doesn't look like, to us, it looks like he's blowing a kiss to Priest. And the camera cuts and he's running to the ring. On TV, he also blows a kiss and the camera still lingers on Punk as he turns around. He blows a kiss and immediately clicks to Priest. And we're like, oh my God. Right. So, and Priest running down, like, now it makes sense. All Drew had to do was fucking leave.
Yo,
all he had to do was leave.
There's a reaction video that went viral on TikTok of a black woman. I don't even know her name. She's like the biggest Drew McIntyre fan. And Drew retweeted on Twitter. Like, if you guys haven't seen it, go to Drew's Twitter. The shit's hilarious. He's like, she's going to be my new trainer because she clearly cares. And it's a 3-minute video. And she's so happy when he wins. And then he's like parading the belt to his wife, to his family who are right there. He's having his moment and the chick's so happy. And then when he gets up there to talk to Punk, she's like, just fucking leave. You're gonna mess it up. Leave. Just walk to the back, enjoy your win, leave. And then Punk takes his legs out. She's like, no, just leave. And then Priest music hits. She's like, I told your ass, just leave. Yo, it's so damn funny. And she goes on for like 2 minutes all the way through the cash in. She is fucking fed up because he didn't just walk away. All you had to do was walk away. That shit had me in tears. He couldn't help himself. That was the theme of night two and
yes.
night one. Gunther had Sammy.
Yep.
Couldn't help himself from punishing him in front of Sammy's family. The same thing with like Gable. Like, he didn't learn. And Gable and Sammy knew, like, he can't help himself in those moments. That's his weakness. And that's the great storytelling, is that no matter how good someone is, everyone has a weakness. Like, I forgot the name of the guy that hired from Marvel, but this got to be his fucking job. Where it's just like, so. Yo, every superhero is great, and you could build superheroes, but everyone has their Achilles heel, and that's what makes superheroes superheroes, and why they can fight each other, and why everyone's great. And it's just like, Gunther is obsessed with that shit. And then here, it's just like, been waiting. Drew's been waiting. He's destined for this title, but his kryptonite is CM Punk. He is so... just dialed this entire feud. He's been so dialed in on CM Punk, he can't help himself.
He couldn't. And the best part is, maybe us that were on the floor, it didn't dawn on us that Priest would cash in at this moment until he cashed in. It just felt like Punk was like,
yeah,
he took off the arm brace. We were like, oh shit, is he healthy?
Yeah, that's then, what I thought. I was like, shit, he's gonna work. Like, they're gonna build this match.
Right. And no, it went straight to Priest cashing in. And that moment happens. And this crowd went berserk because if you thought about all the scenarios for Priest cashing in, this wasn't on the bingo card,
yeah.
Right? Like, this wasn't the one that anybody thought of, and it happens. It was really well done. Judgment Day coming out with them, the Mommy and Damian Priest now both have titles. This was a perfect way to kick off night two.
Was it the best opening match WrestleMania is?
No. Bret versus Owens, the best wrestling.
Okay, but that's a wrestling match. Like, an all-encompassing, I guess.
No, it opened
WrestleMania. They would say this is the best opening wrestling.
No.
WrestleMania opening.
No.
Is what people are saying.
Bret versus Owens, WrestleMania 10 is the greatest opening match in WrestleMania history. It's not even close.
No, I mean, I'm in agreement. Especially Bret goes on to win later.
Yeah.
It just makes Owen even more pissed. Like, it's a phenomenal bit of storytelling. Big Mac, me and him were talking about it on the live stream, and Cole. And there's pretty much just three choices. It's that.
What's the other one?
It's Daniel Bryan versus Triple H, because it was a great match, and it had repercussions for later, because his ribs are all fucked up. Triple H beats the hell out of him after the match, after losing. And you're like, fuck, he's still in this main event, but he's so compromised. It built so much. And they had a banger of a match. Like, that was just a really good match. And then this. Like, there's only three options if you talking about opening matches.
No, but this was really good.
They all had bearing kind of like later on.
Yeah, so, this is really good, but nothing. Bret versus Owen was one of the best feuds.
And you're a Bret Hart stan, so I
get it. I'm a Bret Hart stan, but I'm also an Owen stan too. Like, those two worked their asses off. And Owen pulling off that win shocked everybody, because Bret was wrestling the Yokozuna later that night regardless. So that's the best match. But this was a really good match. And we very well executed cash in as well.
Philadelphia Street Fight. I think the wrong team won, but I liked the shenanigans kind of around the spectacle placed around it, made it better. Bubba being out there made it better. You know, like they added enough moments that seemed cool. It's just a damn table. Like it would have went also, damn table broke. And they had to go get another table. And then it was like, okay, AOP is out for a long time now. Like I suspended belief for a second. But after a while, it's just like they're on the outside for like 5 minutes waiting for this damn table spot. So it got like a little weird there. But all in all, they made a match I thought was going to be the worst match of the weekend. Pretty much all right. And then we just got to see where this leaves Cross and the final testament. But I still think they'll be all right. Like that was just like, it showed that they at least have something together. And Bobby and Street Profits, they're baby faces. Just book them like baby faces, like going
Yeah, I
forward.
just
You know what they are.
look, this nobody cared about this match, and the match happened. It was like, oh, this is fun. Like, this was a fine match. It was not offensive. It wasn't Ray. It was the match the night before. This was full of plunder and bullshit, and I was all for it. Like,
Women had the best spot.
even the table breaking early, and everybody was like, oh, and it was like, fuck it, let's just go get another table. Perfectly fine, because the bully spot, he puts on the glasses, the crowd pops. Scarlett in a what's her name?
BFAP.
B-Fab going through the table was great. I was
Best
like,
spot of
that
the
looked like it
match.
hurt. That looked like it hurt. But yeah, this match was inoffensive. It was fine. I think, wasn't it sponsored by Gin and Juice?
Yes,
It
Snoop was
was.
on commentary.
I
Again,
haven't heard the
big
Snoop commentary. All I've heard
audience.
was it was ridiculous.
Oh,
Okay.
Snoop did zero prep. So the entire thing was just explaining to Snoop what the fuck was going on and who these people were.
Yeah.
It was the most casual of guest appearances. So I was like, all right. And
Yeah.
then LA Knight AJ Styles,
This was good.
they wrestled a good match. It was
I
like a
mean,
wrestler's match.
yeah, like this was not bad by any stretch of the imagination. It was a good match. It wasn't, I've seen some people like 4.5 stars. Like, no, it was a good match. Like, it was just a straight up good
But
match.
AJ got it still. Like AJ was like, fuck it, I'm gonna just go out there and wrestle and give, some people want some graps. Let's just give it to him.
There's no question that AJ still has it, especially big, meaty AJ. Like, this dude's huge. Like, I
Still
saw him and I
flipping
was like,
around and shit.
yeah. And then the fight at WWE World's hilarious too.
Yep.
A bunch of the homies were there for that. But LA Knight getting the dub, like, I was just like, this was a good match. It was a good match. For a lot of people, including myself, this wasn't the WrestleMania match I had in mind for LA Knight, but it worked out, man.
It
And
did.
I think this was good. That's
He
all
got
I
a
can't say nothing
spot
else
on
bad
the
about it.
card. He got the entrance. People, yeah, like the whole crowd was going for him. He's still over. That's all they
Yeah.
needed. Just keep it going.
The yeahs are starting to become like woos. Oh my God. They yelled yeah all night. And
Every
both nights.
punch.
I'm just talking about, like, I'm in the corridors, like, trying to get me my program, because I collect my programs, and everybody, yeah, and we're leaving. Yeah, in the streets. Yeah. Like, it's just yeahs all night. That dude is over like
Guys,
Rome.
over. And then Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton. Shout out to IShowSpeed for giving me my biggest win on social media. So I'm doing like NCAA tournament shit. Like, yo, I'm posting this. But like, it's an RKO on a YouTuber. That shit goes nuclear for Yahoo. So it made me look like a genius. And I was like, hey, probably why I'll be going to SummerSlam. Because it's just like, hey, look at the numbers this does. Yeah, but no, the whole match was as fun as it should have been. Sammy pump faked me because him being there for Kevin on the walkout, I was
Yeah.
like, Kevin got a win. Nope. Logan continues to go. And I kind of saw it. Like, Cleveland is Logan's town. He's going into Cleveland with that belt, probably losing it all. But it's one of
Probably.
those things where he's going to carry it into SummerSlam. I think SummerSlam's in July now. Right? Like every year, like end of July,
I
I
think it's
believe
August. I
is
think this
SummerSlam
one's in
games.
August, because they're
It's
doing a
either
bunch of
first,
shows.
okay. It's either first week of August or like late July. So every
It's one
year.
of those two. But to your point, yeah, he's not. I don't think he's losing his title before then.
No, and I don't think he's gonna defend it that much either. Like maybe he can go one on one with Randy. I don't know if Randy needs it.
Randy don't need it. I think they got to find somebody else for him to feud with in the interim.
It got to be Randy versus Cody at some point. Like that's the next
that's
match.
absolutely happening. Like that's like duh. Like that's happening. This match, what this match did really well was it didn't really make Randy and Orton like do the cliche "I hate you now" in the match. Like Kevin went and picked up Randy on his way to the ring back in the cart, and they worked together a lot in this match. And Logan was trying to find ways for them to fight each other. The only time that they started beefing was, well, you can't get the pin. Like one of us got to win. I thought the finish was really well done.
Pop a power bomb to RKO.
To the RKO, and then Logan like weaseling his way into that pin. But just for a second, you thought Randy was going to reverse it. But Randy gets thrown out of the ring, hits the frog splash. Logan's like dumb athletic. Like there's nothing else to it. Super. He's crazy athletic. This was a good match. A lot of people were like, yo, Kevin's got to win because Sammy won. But that would have been too easy. Yeah. Logan won. It and then Speed getting kicked, like Spartan kicked. It was fucking hilarious.
Again, it's hard for Sammy to hold a belt for like a calendar year.
Yeah.
Because he's built off an underdog. But SummerSlam, man. I love the Sammy versus Kevin. Yo, we've won the belts at Mania. I was there supporting you. Kevin has to get jealous at some time. Right? Like, that's his character. He's a prize fighter.
Yeah.
He's now helped Sammy and then didn't win himself. It has to brew. We have to see these guys. And we've seen it. I think it was like Battleground. Like when they first got pulled up because Kevin like injured Sammy or whatever. And that was a great match. One of the most underrated matches. And I think that was the same night as The Shield. Like Triple Threat. That was one hell of a pay-per-view. Like randomly mixed into this shitty Vince era. And I need to see them with like trips on a random pay-per-view where give them 20, 25 minutes and see them just go one more time. One more between the two.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll happen with this title, but maybe it should happen somewhere. But Kevin just, it's just every time you see him, you're just like, God, this is one of the best talents on the roster. Yeah. Just personality wise, his humor, he plays babyface and heel equally as well. I don't know. I guess you could call him underrated because he does everything right. He does everything. He worked this match right. He worked this feud right. Like he's just
every
really...
belt. Unlike Sammy, it's not like, yo, I got to see him as champ. He was champion. We saw a championship run. He could be champion again. Don't get me wrong. But it's just one of those things where it's just like, he has nothing left to prove. And everything he's great.
He doesn't have anything else to prove.
He worked Stone Cold in the main event of Mania. Right. Stone Cold's first match in like 15 years. And that shit was incredible. He's done everything.
He
could retire tomorrow and be fine.
He could. I don't want him to because I enjoy him so much.
He did an interview would like, and he was like, if I have one more Mania in me, I would love to go me versus Finn. I was like, one more Mania? Like, the fuck?
I mean,
I understand they're all like 38, 39.
Yeah.
And
you never know.
Quick, but hopefully not. Hopefully, man, take the reduced schedule. Do whatever you got to do. Just show up for the big ones. Keep these KO Mania shirts going. And Bayley, Io Sky, they put on a match. I don't care what happened around it. And yeah, some people are like, well, maybe Bayley shouldn't have won yet. All this stuff, Bayley's entrance, it kind of went over people's heads a little bit. There was, this when the bell rang, this shit was a match. I went back and watched it. They were working.
Oh, yeah, and this was good.
Bayley and Sasha obviously have like legendary matches together. But Bayley's resume is not as stacked as Charlotte's, Sasha's, Becky's. Like, she doesn't have those big, like, wow, that's a fucking match outside of the Sasha ones. This is one you can put on their resume. Like, yo, they worked. And Io's great.
Io's tremendous. Like, I said it before. I feel like she's kind of been overlooked as champion, right? And her losing, I didn't necessarily care for because I feel like there's a lot more there with EO. But I think this match proved to anybody who had any questions, like, if you're going to get a banger out of something, you're going to get it out of EO. Because Bianca had an absolute banger. Like, EO is one of the best in the business. And I wish he could have held the title longer in a prominent role to prove to everyone that she's got it. She is the goods. She didn't really have a feud.
No.
Outside of Bayley.
No, it was just that she had good title defenses. But, like, she didn't have a feud. This was the one feud since being champion And it was a good build, and I guess the payoff is a payoff. You don't have to have multiple. I'm glad, and now Church is in charge, so stuff is a little different. Like Kyrie Sane should at least had a touch of the title. You know, like, and Vince never saw it, just put her in Kabuki Warriors and buried her, and she ended up getting fed up and leaving. And now it's like that time didn't pass Io by.
No,
Because
not at
Asuka's
all.
had several runs, but it's like same thing. It's like, are there memorable feuds in there? But she's a four-time champion or something crazy, three-time champion. So like she'll go down probably as a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. And Io's like that level of good in NXT and everything. She was that next wave, even after Kari, because Kari was that good. But Io just being a champion, cool. If she gets it back and has a substantial run in future, great. But I'm just glad they put on that like single star path. She touched the belt. So now if she gets in there either side, like say Raw needs more women and they end up getting moved over there, which seems like the logical thing. Like now that
Yeah.
they're done with Bayley, like just move the Kabuki Warriors to Raw and there's tons of shit to do over there. And can go after Rhea. But she's just believable now
Yeah.
as a main event talent. So thought the match was good. It helped EO a lot, even though she lost.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In the main event, Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. Again, the Tribal Chief is great. It was one hell of a run. It was a historic run. The storytelling in this match, the layers of storytelling, and everyone has an Achilles heel. Everyone has a weakness. Was done so well when you go through it. And the match was a little long, but not bad. It was a good match. When the shenanigans started to hit, though, okay. And it wasn't too many of them. But as soon as Cody, one, crossroads, two, crossroads, damn, this third one's dangerously close to the ropes. Solo's out with the Samoan spike, and Cody kicks out this time. I was like, oh, now we're on.
Yeah, this was the Avengers Endgame of WrestleMania, right? Like the homies had to show up. Because you knew Bloodline Rules was going to lead to shenanigans, and the shenanigans happened. This was a really good match. Cody's entrance, I thought, was fucking great. The mask coming up, having Brandy. It's like there's more than one royal family. Like we're doing this. Seeing the pyro live at WrestleMania is also ridiculous for Cody. They put so much into that guy, and he was built for this machine, right? Like he was built. What he did in AEW was training to get to this point, right? Like this machine can support what Cody Rhodes is, and you felt it in the crowd. I know some people were like, "Oh, they're gonna boo Cody." No, people were cheering The Rock. It really had nothing to do with Cody. It had much more to do with holy shit, The Rock is wrestling, and he's been so good as the final boss. It's really hard to boo him, but everybody was behind Cody in this match, and Roman was excellent as well. Right, like this wasn't your usual slow ass, boring ass
No,
rest hold match.
that was
These two,
kind of night one.
yeah,
The
night
tag
one
match.
rest hold, the
This
whole ass
one, they
rest hold.
just right
These
into it.
guys, yeah, these guys went for it. And when the shenanigans hit, I know some people, I remember some people, that I talked to were like, "Oh, this match is going to be overbooked." And I said, "I don't give a fuck, like, overbook it to be damn. If you're going to do it, you do it now."
And it
The
didn't
only
feel that
question.
way.
The only question that I have is what happened to not get Stone Cold in the Undertaker spot? That is absolutely supposed to be a Stone Cold spot.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind that it was supposed to be Stone Cold instead of the Undertaker. Because you go from Solo to Cena to Rock. The natural progression is Stone Cold, not the Undertaker. If that glass would have broke, Like, to be clear, the crowd went fucking batshit crazy for The Undertaker because we were already on a high.
It made a lot more sense, too, by the way.
Ooh, with Taker?
Yeah, because he did some magical shit to get The Rock out of there.
I mean,
Stone Cold could have stunned. No, but when the lights come back on for the second time, Rock is out of the ring, so is Taker.
Yeah, I mean, they just rolled out like we saw it. But yeah,
well, it was nothing cooler on TV.
Sure, but
they were gone through magical.
But it was like Cena coming out, like that pop was stupid. But then it was like it started to settle in, like, oh, Rock is coming. And at this point, you realize like Rock ain't turning on Roman. He's about to go for it. And Rock nerfing John Cena the way that he nerfed John Cena was hilarious. The last remnants of John Cena's hair flapping around is also funny because he's just hanging on.
Yeah,
man,
it's a little thin in the middle.
Oh yeah, but if that glass would have broke, oh Lord, that place would have blown the fuck up.
Well, by I this hope time, Austin's doing okay health wise. I hope everything around.
That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah,
because it couldn't have been money, right? There's no way it was money. I don't think it would be a scheduling conflict. Something had to happen to prevent Austin from being there because that had to be the plan.
Of course. And Taker didn't even have his gear. I think if it was planned for Taker, he would at least like kind of put on the garb.
To, yeah.
Like come out like, no, he just came out in a do-rag and some sweats. It was just like, well, you know what I'm here for.
And then in the midst of all this, when that Shield music hits, the layers of confusion that goes through the crowd, because you're like, is Moxley showing up?
Yeah.
Can't be. Right? Absolutely can't be. But this is crazy, right? Like, this match is crazy. But Rollins comes out in the Shield gear and immediately gets super punched to hell, right?
Like,
he got no offense in. And I remember my first thought was, that was wasted. Then I thought about it. And as Roman is walking over with that chair and he turns back, and the flashback of him getting hit, I got to get my lip back.
That's it.
Yo, some of the best bit of storytelling that we've ever seen. Yeah. It goes all the way back. I can be your Shield. Like, everything Rollins said up to this point led to this very moment where he knew Roman can't help himself.
Yeah.
He has to get it back.
If he has one weakness, if there's one person he's never beat, it's Rollins.
It's Rollins.
And I am his Achilles heel. I am his weakness. And if it comes down to it and he has to choose, his pride won't let him choose Cody over Rollins. The chair was there. Like, you hit Cody, it's over.
It's a wrap.
What?
Damn it. I got to get this lick back.
I got to get him. Like, it's just, he can't help himself with Seth. Because as great as he thinks he is, there's always, from the beginning, been one guy better. Or the public perception is that this guy was the front man of the Shield. This guy got the title first. This guy is doing, and it's just like, fuck, this guy turned on me. And it was just, he's like, I got to get him back. And this is the first time, and it's always been that for Roman. And again, the storytelling, so many layers. It's always been, would Sammy have hit me in the back with the chair if Seth didn't do it first? Would Jay hit me in back of the chair if Rollins didn't do it first? Everything came back to, and Roman never had the chair. Roman is just like, everything is because of Seth. All this shit and what he did. And he has the chair and he's just like, I need to get rid of him before I can do anything. it was such a simple choice. The internal conflict of, do I do this, keep my belt, win and roll? Or do I take out the guy who's really, for the past 10 years, caused all this? The one guy I can't beat. And he chooses Seth. So nerf Seth with that chair. Ends up losing. But after, I love that Seth sold it to the moon. And then there's a shot, a camera shot of Seth, like, tearing up. Amazing acting. Tearing up after Cody wins. Like, he knew it. Like, I knew that I could be the difference because he can't avoid me. I am the kryptonite to him, more so than Cody, more so than anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, the celebration, everybody coming to the ring, his mom, right? Like, Rollins, swollen eye and all, because one of them Claymores definitely clocked him in the eye, because that eye was eating it. And And it felt like the emotion was real. It also felt like Seth and Roman are going to be gone for a minute. They need a break.
Well, Seth, to think of everything he did and to know that he completely fucked up his knee like 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Didn't wrestle, and then just rested just for these two nights is crazy.
It's pretty obvious. When these two come back, Seth versus Roman is going to be a big fucking deal, right? It's going to be title, no title, don't matter. People have waited for years for them to headline WrestleMania. Maybe it's next year. No. I don't know. It could be. They could headline one of the nights.
Maybe.
It's two nights.
It's hard to keep women away for like two nights from a main event. Mm. But yeah, CM Punk is definitely headlining. But if we get Cody versus like Rocket Mania, then it's like another night. Like, it's tough. But
there's a lot
to be a bank.
There's a lot they can do, and there's clearly that is the feud to go to from this point on. This was an excellent finish. The fans, like everybody, lost it. The pyro, watching Cody celebrate with his wife and his everybody around him, and Randy, like. You're looking at Randy, and it's like, damn, man, like this is legacy, not legacy. What's the legacy? Yeah, legacy. Yeah. There's so much going on here because, again, this was a guy who had to leave the company because they didn't care about him. And now he finished the story. And the best part about it is that I know people were like, oh, like AEW blew with Cody. No, they didn't. This was
needed, it was a vehicle. Like they chose
this was,
guys.
Yeah, like, of course Cody would have wanted to stay in AEW, but there's a reason why I left.
Yeah.
And the reason why I left and the fact that he came back to a company that where Hunter, credits to Triple H for a lot of this, was like, all right, you done crushed the throne, like you done took shots, but you built yourself up in a way that nobody could have possibly dreamed of. Because you remember, he hit the indie market, he made that list all those years ago. And he worked through that list and he became the biggest heel in the Bullet Club. And he did all this stuff to get it created AEW. None of this happens if Cody doesn't leave the company. Like, none of this happens. The Bucks could have tried it, but there's also the big mistake. It was like Connor fighting Floyd was allowing Jericho to work New Japan. That was also the other mistake that they made that created AEW. But the linchpin was Cody Rhodes. And the company's still alive.
Producing that show, that state, you know, that arena show and everything, as good as the Bucks are, Cody was like, well, I kind of just know this aspect of wrestling and how we pull off like a show like this. He added so much to that.
He was, the fact that he came back, worked Rollins, and had like they've made a diligent effort to make him a star, but they didn't need to do much because he was already there. Like, he did it himself. This is true. There's a story to tell between what Cody is doing in WWE and what Swerve is doing in AEW. This is a very these are two very much do-it-yourself kind of guys. And all the company has to do, if they're smart, is just get on the train. That's it.
Let them go.
All you got to do is get on the train. Add a little bit more pyro. Like, just push them up. Because they've done it themselves.
Couple more dances. For Swerve.
So all of this, all that's left is now, it's the question that I had before. Now what? You're going to work The Rock. That's inevitable.
Yeah.
But how do we keep Cody hot as the champion? I personally, right now, don't think he's going to have a long title reign.
Neither do I.
He's much better built for the chase than being the champ. And it's going to be really hard. Because if Gunther nerfs him, I think Gunther's going to be the one that gets it awful at some point.
Such a weird time. I mean... Yeah,
it won't be. It won't happen soon. It could happen within the next year.
Yeah,
right. If all of us believe that Gunther is going to win Money in the Bank, it's either he's winning Money in the Bank or the Royal Rumble. One of those two things are happening.
And he ain't taking too long to cash in that Money in the Bank.
No,
that's not Damian Priest. Like they're pulling the trigger on this.
So I think he's going to get that title off of him, and the money's in the chase. But you know, I think everything's been right up to this point. This is one of the biggest moments in WrestleMania history in terms of something, the payoff being worth it. Like, obviously for us, Kofi Mania, Bryan Danielson winning the title. These are like massive payoffs. Shawn Michaels beating Bret Hart, massive payoff. Cody Rhodes winning in the manner that he did in an excellent match. It's a perfect cap to WrestleMania 40. So it was all in all, this
as
is pretty
mad as
damn
people
good.
Were at WrestleMania 39. I think everyone could look back and say,
"Hey, man, I told you on this damn podcast. I told you on this podcast. I said he's gonna lose because there's nowhere to go but down once he wins the championship. They spent the next year just building him, building him, building him. To that, we knew what was gonna happen. There's no way he was gonna lose again. There just wasn't. But they cast just enough doubt. To think about this, they were gonna have The Rock replace him. Like that's
those
crazy.
Gonna continue like without the story finishing for a second.
They went that direction, and that team, the WWE, quickly realized from the "We Want Cody" chance, it was like it's undeniable.
That's it.
He did all this shit.
Of a job.
he did too good of a job. Like, yeah, you presented him well, but him bringing the wrestling club. Yeah. To this WrestleMania, his work with kids, his emotion that he showed, the promos that he's cut, the matches that he's worked, that torn pec thing, I don't know if we get as big of a baby face until this fucker came out with a torn pec at Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
Like, bruh.
Can't manufacture that. It's just a perfect story.
He is just, you can say what you want about Cody, neck tattoo aside, even though he even refers to it as a mistake. He said Dusty would love everything about this neck tattoo. The guy's got it. He's got it. He made it. Like, he could retire tomorrow. If you wanted to.
Good. That's both nights of Mania. Before we get out of here, we talked about one CM Punk. He comes out again on Monday Night Raw. Cost Drew Mack again.
And laughs.
Yeah, just laughs. Grabs his foot before the claymore. Drew just can't get past it. Their feud. And reportedly, Drew still hasn't re-signed. But semantics now. You just, every time this motherfucker's on television, he's probably not resigning because he's like, I think that number changed a little bit.
It might have. Real quick, before you talk more about Drew, tweeting that during the match and then tweeting
the
and then tweeting fuck after the match is over was hilarious. But I digress. Man, the man is just too good.
So good. So he loses again and Punk's laughing and everything. Outside of Cody, CM Punk has had the best 2 weeks in pro wrestling.
It's pretty good. I say Rollins had a phenomenal WrestleMania, but I think CM Punk is, between the interview with Ariel and everything else going on. And
as a guy who got hurt and was missing his WrestleMania moment, right? Like, he may not get it. He's hurt. Fuck. All the plans are just done, torn up. He's like, fuck, man. Like, again, to the Ariel interview, to, it won't be a WrestleMania, just do commentary. To a major player in the Drew storyline and that whole title that he was supposed to be in anyway. So he didn't main event, but he was a major player in WrestleMania, even without even with his injury. Then to Monday Night Raw, and then to Wednesday.
Oh, God.
Which is not even his promotion anymore. But Tony Khan announces on Sunday that he's going to show the footage from Brawl In, because I guess he took offense to what Punk said on Ariel Helwani's podcast. And at this point, those are his two biggest nemesis, is Ariel Helwani and CM Punk for Tony Khan. So he couldn't just let it slide. He decides to show the backstage footage and work it into this Young Bucks FTR angle and have the Bucks as EVP show it to strengthen that feud or to pop a rating. I'm not sure. But the footage comes out. It's a minute long. And it kind of shows exactly what Punk said. Maybe Punk was a little more asshole-ish than he had let on. Yes, he did push and smush the hell out of Jungle Boy, out of Perry beforehand. And then Perry was like, I don't know, about to say, what the fuck? And then he guillotined Perry. And then Joe did come over. I was like, let him the fuck go. He lets him go. Joe takes him one way. Chris Hero damn near is in tears. Like, oh my God, what is this fucking coming down to? Because it looks like maybe Chris Hero's the agent on that match or something. And Punk's like, I quit. Chris Hero's like, my fucking match. And then covers his face and everything. And Tony says he feared for his life, I guess. If Punk's like leaning over Gorilla, like, your company's a fucking shit show. Maybe he thought he was going to catch the next guillotine. I don't think it was going to go that far. But in that minute footage, I was just like, shit happens. Like, you don't have to one. And again, a guy whose dad's an owner of a football team and especially an owner of a soccer club, like, you kind of know boys will be boys at some point. This shit shouldn't be foreign to you. This fights every training camp. But also, the biggest thing, or the worst thing you could do, is be a snitch or like leak shit. It's like, yo, this isn't house. If there is a fight, like, this is us. This is the locker room. These are the boys. Like, you showed it to do what? To show that CM Punk was overly aggressive? Like, what is this doing for you? But making it seem like if I work there, nothing's private. Anything on camera can be taken and shown. That's, to me, out of all of this, as corny as it may seem, that's the biggest problem. Because it's like, yo, bro, I can't even trust you. Whatever I do here, you may show if you just fucking feel like it 6 months after I leave. That's huge for someone who's played organized sports, who's played, that locker room's fucking sacred. And pro wrestling's like that. It's like, yo, bro, you just put this shit out. Like, that's whack. That's as bad as it can get.
So in the other guys, Will Ferrell tells Mark Wahlberg, after telling the story about the shark and the lion, what does Will Ferrell tell him? Did that go the way you thought it was going to go? Nope. That is exactly what showing this video did. Because everything you said is true. It didn't. Look, you ain't got to agree with Punk at all in this scenario. But this video did not make Punk look like a menace to society. It did not make him look like somebody who's going to kill Tony Khan. You got to remember, while you can't say, while true, yeah, he shouldn't have put his hands on Jack Perry. Yeah. We got to remember what led to this point. And Punk didn't deny he put his hands on Jack Perry. He never said Jack swung at him first. He never said anything. All the things that Punk said kind of happened.
Yep.
Now we saw it. And a lot of us were wondering, well, could it be worse? Because why would you show it? Maybe he punched him in the face. Maybe there was a lie that was told. No, it happened exactly as Punk said it. Whether you agree with it or not, that's what happened.
Punk was definitely the instigator, but...
Like, he pulls up on Jack Perry, who says what he says in the camera, which is the reason why this thing started in the beginning,
yes,
because of this glass. Something that Tony should have fixed. And unless you're denying that Punk never said to Tony, like, if I handle it, it's going to go a different way. You need to handle it. The foundation of this is the whole, let's go get Punk to tell Jack Perry not to go through the glass. And Punk basically says, no, you guys should handle this, but if you really want me to, we'll do it. That's the found. Unless you had video countering that,
yep,
this was worthless.
Yeah,
because
then to then do it on a major stage and be like, real fucking glass. It's like, bro, you just throwing this in my face because I told you you couldn't do this on,
right,
Saturday?
Like, you need to have a counter to that. You need to have a counter to say Punk took it upon himself to tell Jack, because you don't have anything. All you have right now is you have the idea that Punk handled something that y'all should have handled, and that shouldn't have been the way that it went. But now, what makes it look worse, forget the Jack Perry stuff just for a second. Now we're looking at Tony Khan feared his life over a fight? Over what? And it wasn't even like a fight. Shout out to Alexis Littlefoot. She says Solange and Jay-Z had more physicality in the elevator than that match, than that situation did. It locker room fights happen. Plenty of times, I know, and these stories have been told in pro wrestling about, dude, Eddie Kingston slapped Sammy Guevara. I'm sure that was more physical than what we just saw. We didn't see the video of that.
I mean, we choked him. I mean, there was a choke, but yeah. At least
it was like a front headlock. It wasn't even like a real, I'm going to put you to sleep type choke. Like, it was a scuffle. It wasn't a fight. This was a scuffle. And no matter what, this didn't strengthen your position as, oh, Punk is a jerk. Nobody cares. The fans chanted CM Punk in the arena when this
man
happened.
Was trending worldwide.
Like,
during your
show. My issue with this whole thing has been, I need Tony to stop reacting. I need it. I need it. You don't react to the boys getting fucking released by saying they was late to work.
Yeah.
No.
Wish them their best. Wish them their best.
All right, wish you well. I'm not responding to this.
No.
You know what the foundation of all this was? Telling Big Swole she couldn't wrestle. You didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's you reacting because Swole got let go and people were like, why? And he was like, because she can't wrestle. Shut the fuck up. You don't like you. You're never going to win an argument with the internet. It doesn't work that way. You're never going to win the argument as a billionaire because nobody's going to side with you. Yeah. So the best thing that you can do is nothing. Punk went on his thing with Ariel Helwani. WrestleMania week, the most successful week in WrestleMania history, in WWE's history, in terms of engagement, in terms of views, in terms of a successful event in a new era, stay away. I think they shouldn't even do Ring of Honor during WrestleMania weekend anymore.
Ooh.
The reason why is because they ain't gonna come to your town and do something for Double or Nothing.
No.
You going there and then talking shit about a company while your other company, your second company, is working in that territory to gain, you know, some fans that are gonna be in there. Because yeah, we went to Ring of Honor, it was a great show. Yeah. But it makes you feel second rate. Separate yourself. Don't pay him any attention. Don't worry about what they're doing. If Punk says what he wants, Tony, don't respond. You didn't need to. This didn't do anything for AEW. I don't even know what the end game was. Like, did you think that fans, like this, in this tribalistic nature of pro wrestling, did you think fans were going to watch that video and be like, I'm done with WWE? No, everybody already picked their side.
Yep.
They've been picked their side. People that hated Punk in AEW love him in WWE. That's just the way they're going to be. You're not going to change their mind. But what you did do was you exposed yourself. You exposed yourself in a situation where people were like, you were really scared for your life? Like, we thought we were going to see something juicy. And then you used it in an angle for a tag match at Dynasty? Come on, guys. Like,
came off corny. It came off real message board nerdish.
Yes, message board people can't help themselves and have them long-ass arguments on message boards because they can't stop responding. Like you said, the theme for this weekend is I can't help myself. Tony couldn't help himself. He couldn't help himself.
See a like, Punk and Ariel Hawani. That's his kryptonite.
You got to let it go, man, because you're not going to win. And it doesn't matter. Punk said what he said. We done moved on. WrestleMania happened. We moved on. Now, yes, of course, there are going to be people that say, well, AEW is a shit show. But they were already saying that before Punk.
And he didn't say it on WWE television.
No, he said it in an interview.
Yeah.
You went on.
Question he was asked. You took your TV time out of the way. You forced it into an angle with four other talents and a commentary team that looked utterly embarrassed.
Siobhan did not look great.
No, like, he's just like, are you fucking kidding? It looked like CM Punk when he was like, I'm tired and I work around a bunch of fucking children.
Yeah, like, that's what it felt like.
Siobhan looked like, are you fucking kidding me that we're going to do this to a guy who's not in our promotion?
Like, I saw people that didn't like what Ospreay said. I didn't mind that. And the reason why is Ospreay's right. Like, run from the grind. Bitch, have you seen me work for the past several years?
Yeah.
There's not a grind that I miss.
And that was funny. That was a funny jab. Like, oh, you grinded on, like, the boss's daughter. Like, it was, that's playful. It was a little whack because it came right after this. If anything, they whacked Ospreay out.
That was the problem, right? Like, if Ospreay just delivered that promo or went to his whole thing with Danielson, totally fine, because Hunter took a shot at him.
Yeah.
Like, and it looks, when Hunter said it, I was like, that was dumb. Like, I felt like that was like underhanded. You didn't need to take a shot at Ospreay. If you want to run from the ground, what are you talking about? Ospreay's the best wrestler on the planet, bar none.
Well, he was asked a question, and you'd be like, fuck it. If you don't want to do this every day and you want a lighter schedule, then I don't want you anyway. And that's a real ass response.
It's just corny for Hunter to even do that. I just thought it was, and he elicited
on a
response.
Bigger platform. Yeah. So it got a lot of waves.
Like you said it, and it was just like, but you're saying this about the best wrestler in the world. But like, whatever. Like, if Ospreay came back tomorrow and said, I'll work for you guys, you're going to take him. You're not going to deny that, man.
I mean, he did the same with Cody, right? Like, you'll let the guy back in and you'll push him. But it's the key of putting your talent over, because when that is the case, it's like, yo, you got spurned by the biggest wrestler in the world. Or the best wrestler in the world. And it's like, yeah, but he didn't want to do what we wanted to do. We weren't just going to acquiesce to him, and we're not going to acquiesce to any. And I think he really put, that's what the statement is, right? Like, yo, if you don't want to put in the grind, if you don't want to do house shows, if you don't want to work our schedule, then we don't want you.
FYI, yeah, I think it's bullshit, though. My whole point, I just think it's bullshit. Like, Hunter's saying that, it's bullshit.
A good way to put it? Of course. But you got to say that shit. It's like, well, that was the shit with, like, Brett Favre. It was like, Brett Favre doesn't want to do training camp anymore. And he started missing training camp. Like, they didn't.
Yeah.
And people were like, fuck that. That wouldn't happen on my team. And, oh, I can't believe they're letting him do that and sit out and not practice. And then Brett Favre became a free agent. And everyone's, well.
Play, come on.
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers and all the shit that comes with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Well, Tom Brady was like, got a fucking his own masseuse, and he's eating avocados, and he has his own office, and this guy might be a fucking kook. That'll never happen here. You went, everybody, yo, we'll build this motherfucker a house in our complex. Yeah. They didn't care. Everybody's drinking avocado milkshakes, because until that guy's, but you got to say it until then to make everybody in-house feel better.
Yeah, so you lose out on a big free agent. Like LeBron leaves Cleveland and everybody's burning his jersey and the motherfucker comes like back, whatever. Right? But my point is, the Osprey thing was fine. Like, I have any problem with it. But coming off the heels of this, it just felt like you're dedicating your TV time attacking a company that just blew it out of the water this week. It's not like you're attacking them at a low point when Vince was in the news, like being very rapey and you had a bad show. They just fucking smoked it.
Makes you feel threatened. Leave it alone. It makes it seem like you're threatened.
Yeah, like, why are you doing? Like, again, just do you got a pay-per-view next week. The last thing we should be talking about is fucking CM Punk. We should be talking about Joe and Swerve headlining Dynasty for the fucking AEW World Heavyweight Championship next week. The Bucks and FTR having their fourth match for the tag titles is what we should be talking about. Ospreay and Danielson, we don't know how many stars they got left. Meltzer's, like, how many stars can that match get? We should be talking about that, not fucking CM Punk. Like, that shit,
none of that
pissed me off.
None of that trended. Completely buried all of that stuff. And they've been doing really well lately.
They've been, like, it's like you're having your own show, you're doing really well, and fans are watching. The fans that love AEW are enjoying it. Just keep cooking. Because the fans that are with you are with you. And eventually people are going to be like, yo, you want to watch the best wrestling in the world, bell to bell? It's AEW. But when you do all these other shenanigans, it just turns people off. They won't even give you a chance.
That's it. Like, wrestling's become, like, Wale Mania, the brunch, every WrestleMania week. It's become cool.
Yeah.
Like, and to a lot of people, like, they're cool people. That's some sucker shit. Like, to the point of, even if I really like wrestling, like, I just, some people be like, yo, I just don't fuck with it. Like, I'll watch the match on YouTube if I have to. Yeah. But I ain't going to rock with you because that's just, you're corny. And this shit is cool now.
Yeah.
Don't do corny shit. Like, so it's one of those, like, hopefully the pay-per-view is going to be great. Write the shit.
Of course it
is. Focus on yourselves. Stop letting Mercedes talk every week.
Well,
let her wrestle.
We'll save that. This conversation for next week.
But there's other shit to do. Just make sure you're doing it very, very well. And let WWE run their race. Because they're trying to figure out how to get more of that NXT bell-to-bell in there still. Because they haven't, Trips has done a lot. He hasn't figured that out yet. It's how to get the match quality to an AEW match quality level.
It's not going to happen. But it's fine.
It's never going to be that high. But NXT was, Trips wanted to get close, at least for pay-per-views. They're never going to match Dynamite and Rampage giving random fucking six-star bangers. But at a pay-per-view, Trips loved that shit. It was like, yo, we're going to get a five-star match or 4.5. He loved that. He hasn't recaptured that yet. He hasn't figured out how to do that. Cool. So you guys do that exponentially better. Focus on that. Highlight that.
Do what you do best. Like, if I divorce my wife and I get a new wife and I stay busy talking about my ex-wife, My wife is going to be like, yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you? Focus on what's in front of you. This is our relationship now. AEW has a bunch of talent that needs attention. Don't give CM Punk that attention. Just move on.
At all. So put a guy over from a different company. All in all, one hell of a wrestling week. Glad to have you back. It's a big week for you. UFC 300, big week for me. We got a presser to go to in a second. So, everyone, we appreciate you. We'll keep it short and sweet. I appreciate you as always. If you're on a Patreon already, you guys are incredible. If you're not, what the hell are you waiting for? It is dope. Original content on there all the time. All of these videos on there all the time. Make sure you guys check us out over on that platform. Follow us wherever you guys follow podcast as well. For myself, for the old man Andres Hill. Till next time, we're out.
Peace.